For those out in the foyer, I would invite you to make your way in. We'd like to begin our service this morning. And again, we gather together here today to worship and praise our God because he's worthy, worthy of our worship, worthy of our praise. So let's begin with a word of prayer this morning, shall we? Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you so much for this day that you have created, this day that you have given to us. And God, we're here this morning because we want to worship you, and we pray that we would worship you in spirit and in truth. God, that from the depths of our hearts and the depths of our minds, that we would just totally avail ourselves to you, that you would have your way in us here this morning, that as you speak to us, we would clearly hear your voice, that we would not just be hearers then of your word, but we would be doers as well. We'd put into practice those things that you share with us here today. So God, as we worship you, as we spend this time sitting at your feet, God, speak to us, challenge us, encourage us, convict us where necessary. And God, we pray that you would receive all the honor and the glory as we leave this place here today. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship together. Shall we?
Silver, purify. Father's hand. Someone around you.
Spirit, make me new.
Gather together today to worship that King because he's worthy of our worship, worthy of our praise. Good morning. Good to see you here this morning. Welcome to our visitors. Good to have you here with us this morning. And trust you'll sense the presence of the Lord and come back and worship with us again. I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Acts this morning, chapter 17, for our devotional. Acts chapter 17. I'd like to begin reading at verse 22, Acts 17, verse 22. And to set the stage here just a little bit of what has been happening, Paul is in Rome, he's in the city of Athens, and he's sharing the gospel or going to present the gospel to the people there. And as he walks throughout Athens, he finds that on every street, corner, every place that you go, idols to gods everywhere he goes, all kinds of them. And he also finds that these people were very, very concerned about knowing the gods, worshiping the gods. And in fact, they would spend time talking about them, philosophers and just continually trying to understand and trying to gain knowledge and trying to just, you know, work through all of these things in their heads. To try to understand and try to know who all these gods were. And they spent hours and hours, I believe, you know, just talking about these things. We'll pick up in verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings," pay attention here, verse 27, "so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they may grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us." These men especially, these people were searching, continually searching. Somewhere out there, there's got to be another God. Somewhere out there, there's got to be something to fill that void. Somewhere there's something that we're just not getting a hold of. So we need to keep searching, you know, someplace way out there that we haven't reached yet. There's something. And Paul is telling them that searching God that you're looking for is right here. He is near. He is right next to you. And if you reach out to him, he is not far from you. And I don't know where you are in your life and what's happened in your life recently and all the things that you're struggling with or challenged with. And if you're here this morning and don't have a relationship with God and you feel like God is a million miles away, he's not. He's near. He's near. He's near to each one of us. And he wants you to know that. He wants you to feel his presence. He wants you to sense his nearness. And if you reach out to him, he'll touch you. He'll respond to you. He'll hear you. He's a God who is near. And we thank him for that. Let's pray, shall we? God, this morning, thank you. Thank you that you are a God that is near. Regardless of what we face in our lives, the challenges, the struggles, even God, when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and we, in a sense, were far from you spiritually, you were near. You were near. You're always near. And you're near to us here today. You're near to us in this place. You're near to each one of us in the challenges and the struggles and the questions that we have here this morning. So, God, I just pray that as we worship you here today, we would sense your nearness, feel your presence, and know that you are here. Again, thank you, God, for your nearness, your closeness, and your touch on our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. Sin, I resign. Thy gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorn.
541. 541. Marvelous grace that a loving Lord, grace that extends us and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured. There where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair like the sea waves cold threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater. greater than all our sin.
Thank you.
This morning, there's a line in the song that says, when there's no peace on earth, there's peace in Christ. I know for one, I can get stuck in the unraveling of the world around me. I can get frustrated with it. But I'm very thankful that true peace does not come from Christ, from anything on this earth, but it comes from Jesus Christ and only in Him.
Yes, that's safe. Yes, well, greet you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a Savior, amen. It is such an honor to be here. I know at the tent you see so many people and you're not sure from which congregation and all that, which is not why we're there, but it's good to be with a local congregation on Sunday morning and to get to see who is here, but most of all that God will be glorified. I so enjoy it the morning, just all the different things that are going on and people going to the mission field. And by the way, Gator Camp, I don't see this young lady, she's somewhere out here that was sharing about going to Gator Camp, but we have a wonderful relationship. I remember back when they were in their beginnings, we had the privilege of partnering together with them in some fundraising in Sarasota. They're just a few hours outside of Sarasota, or maybe an hour or two. And so we've known that camp. In fact, also there's several of our youth that are serving there at Gator Camp currently and have been had some friendships there over the years, and so such a blessing. Of course, all the meat donated by Detweilers, that didn't surprise us. They are such a giving organization that they're just amazing in how they serve their communities, and we are so grateful over the years and how they have been such an example of giving and sharing in the way that God has called them to. All right, well, what's on my heart this morning, as I was praying into this yesterday morning, and I want to share with us concerning the weapon of gratitude. I don't know how you find it in life, but I don't really enjoy being around grumpy people. Do anybody enjoy being around grumpy people? I don't see any hands. You know, it's something that God is continuing to speak to me, teach me, and it's such a privilege to, when you get into a situation, and this actually has happened to probably most of us over the years, where you get into a situation where you're confronted with an ungrateful attitude. Sometimes you display it yourself. I know I do. When Myron's saying about having failed all those tests of those questions to marriage, both of my hands are up. But, you know, there's times when we do get, you know, grumpy, or my wife and I, we don't always see eye to eye or whatever, but to be quick to reconcile. But when you're in a situation, somebody you don't know, I think of places that I've been and traveled to, and you run into situations where there's somebody just griping about everything, just like everything's negative, everything's just like, oh, I don't like this, or oh, the lights are too dim, or oh, the room's too cold, or oh, the room's too hot, or well, I don't like sitting beside this, and just on and on. It's their lifestyle, it's their attitude of their lifestyle. It's not very fun to be in that atmosphere, is it? When we have the privilege to change that surrounding, this is more of a doing message, if you will, the weapon of gratitude, and the way I've laid this out, it's a lot more going to one verse here, one verse there, just verses a, like one text. So bear with me as we go through this. But the weapon of gratitude, I do believe, is actually a weapon. Gratitude is a weapon. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we have weapons. We could go to Ephesians chapter 6. We read about weapons. But I believe gratitude is a weapon that you and I have within us, in the spirit, that will affect the surroundings that we have the privilege of coming into. So the weapon of gratitude, it is a weapon. I want to begin by just a few thoughts about the dangers of an ungrateful attitude. And it is amazing to me when I look at Scripture, in the context of Scripture, how an ungrateful attitude can be the beginning of a downward spiral in someone's life. So I want to begin that in Romans chapter 1, 21 to 24. And we're going to read here. This is in the context of if I would read verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed to them from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now we pick up in verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And what are the next three words, at least in the King James Version? Neither were they thankful. And then look at what happened after that. But they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to the birds and the four-footed beasts and the creeping things. And if we would read on, well, actually, yeah, in verse 24, Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And then we have the example of homosexuality. Now, we look at that as a terrible thing. We look at it as a terrible sin, that homosexuality and how that's such an ungodly thing, and it is. But according to what we just read, one of the things that happened leading up to that lifestyle is unthankfulness, ungratefulness. So ungratefulness, gratitude, is a very, very powerful weapon in the kingdom of God, I believe, as we worship Him. Now, it should just be a given that we glorify Him. We are grateful for our salvation, for the Holy Spirit, for life and peace and joy. That should always be a given. Should always be a given. I want to talk more about just practical things in life as we go through life from day to day. You know, it's amazing to me how, you know, talk about change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and the birds and the four, all those things. But let's go on this morning. This is in the context, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, in the context of apostasy coming into the church. And here's one of the verses. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful, proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and what else? Ungrateful. Ungrateful. So they will consider nothing sacred. So ungratefulness can even be, if I have an attitude of ungratefulness, it can be the beginning of embracing apostasy. It's serious. The spirit of ungratefulness is very, very serious. I don't want to dwell on the negative very long because we have way more verses that talk about gratefulness, but I want to set it up to help us, to help me to see the importance of the weapon of gratitude. Now, dangers of an ungrateful spirit. The best way to burn friendships fast is to never show gratitude. You see that back? Yeah. The best way to burn friendships fast is to never show gratitude. I remember some years ago after a church service, and I was talking to a gentleman afterwards, and man, he was just telling me how bad people are, and he said, I'm just alone, and people don't come, I just stand here, and people don't come and talk to me after church. He was just complaining about everything, and I let him talk, and I was like, okay, Lord, help me how to respond to this situation. And after he was done, I just looked at him and I said, you know, I'm sorry that what's going on in your heart. I'm so sorry. He said, you know, it's a challenge when nobody comes and talks to us and maybe we feel rejection, maybe we feel hurt, all of that. I get that. But I got permission. I said, would you mind if I would just share something with you? And he said, yes, sir. I said, have you ever thought about maybe initiating conversation? Instead of standing here and expecting everybody to come to you, how about you initiating conversation and you go talk to people and express gratitude and gratefulness for what they mean to you? And he stood there and looked at me with a blank face, like that never crossed my mind. But he thanked me for it. He thanked me for it. The best way to burn through friendships fast is to never show gratitude. Ungrateful attitude fuels an attitude of entitlement. Well, I deserve this. No, we do not. Unthankfulness, it fuels an attitude of entitlement. Unthankfulness, an ungrateful attitude, it breeds discontentment. An ungrateful attitude nurtures a critical spirit. It nurtures a critical spirit. Now, we're going to shift a little bit now and get more to the positive of a grateful spirit. In 1 Thessalonians, this is where we're just going to go verse for verse, a lot of scripture this morning. But the weapon of gratitude, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, everybody say it. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If I were to ask us this morning, how many of us want to know the will of God for our life? All our hands would go up, right? We all want to know the will of God. How about beginning to find out that will by just giving thanks? It's the will of God in Christ Jesus that we give thanks in everything. Now, let me also clarify. It's sometimes difficult. I don't know that we have to be thankful for everything, because there's unfortunate things that happen to us. And we may not be thankful for everything, but when we find ourselves in our circumstances permitted by God, we are to be grateful in everything. That makes sense? In everything. That's what the Bible says. Give thanks. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Then, in Psalm 7, verse 17, I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. I will sing praises of the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 9, verse 1, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wondrous works. Psalm 69, verse 30, I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. And then Psalm 95, verse 1 and 2, come. Let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Philippians 4, 6. Be careful. For nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Thankfulness, gratefulness. What is your home culture like? Husband and wife, what is your home culture like? What is the atmosphere of our homes? What do our children hear? Do they hear griping and complaining from the parents, or do they hear a heart of gratitude, a heart of gratefulness, or do they hear a heart of entitlement? Well, my water should always run in the sink. It's great if it does. What if it doesn't? What if it doesn't? What do they hear? Grumpiness. Oh, man, this old thing, just this and this and this. Or like, okay, God, when we get it repaired, are we grateful that we have funds to fix it? Or do we keep complaining about the funds it took? It's like the one guy I think about, he was complaining that it took his whole savings account to build his house. I'm like, my goodness, be grateful you had it. A lot of us have mortgages, right? You know, gratefulness, gratitude. I was challenged. We've had the privilege 2 years in a row now to organize and lead out in a leadership conference. And Lord willing, next year it'll be in Lancaster. And so blessed with a team of speakers that mentors in my life and people that I look up to and have encouraged me over the years. And at this last one in January, one of the speakers challenged us. He encouraged us. He was challenging himself, and he said, I try to every morning when I wake up, before I get out of bed, take a moment and thank God for 10 things. Think about that for a moment. Well, I'm not sure if I would have 10 things to thank God for every morning. Try it sometime. Try it sometime. They're there. They're there. Gratefulness, it changes our attitude as we approach today. Yes, we are first and foremost. This is after our worship. This is after praying. This is after our connection with God and all of that. Like that's always the foundation. That never changes. I'm talking about putting action to those words. And even as we wake up, Lord, I need your help today. And just line our heart up with gratitude and gratefulness, a weapon that is powerful in the kingdom of God. Thank God for 10 things before you even get out of bed. That's a good day. That's a good start. Even fortunate things happen to us, even if somebody pulls out in front of us. Can we, I believe if we thank God for 10 things, before we ever get out of bed, we get out on the road and somebody pulls out in front of us, I bet you we're going to thank God for it.
I don't think I will. Try it.
Try it. Yeah. Because it sets us up. It sets us up for gratitude and gratefulness. Ladies, when was the last time you complained about doing laundry? Don't raise your hand. You know? Or men. When was the last time we complained about doing laundry? Oh, I got this huge pile of laundry. When was the last time we gave thanks that I have a washer, that I have a dryer? A lot of people in the world don't have that privilege. Don't have that privilege. We've seen it many times. Going out to the creek in Africa and rinsing out clothing, hanging them on the bushes to dry, all over the bushes. I'm like, man, when was the last time we gave thanks because we had hot water? When was the last time we complained when we didn't? Practical things. Men, when was the last time your vehicle was dirty and you complained about having to wash it? But you pull out the hose, you turn the faucet on, you not only have water, but you got pressure. Push that nozzle, and if you don't have pressure, you do something about it. You get it fixed. You do something. When's the last time? You thank God when you were washing your vehicle that you had not only water, but Lord, I thank you for water pressure. And I have the privilege, and it's actually a hobby of mine. I enjoy it. Sometimes people ask, what are your hobbies? I said, I don't have many. I don't golf, I don't fish, I don't hunt. But I dump water. So sorry. That's not a, man, oh man. Boy, that reminds me. Good grief. I didn't just do that, did I? All right, now here's an opportunity. Are you grateful that that water didn't go on you? Oh, the preacher dumped water in the church. That reminds me, some years ago, we were opening revival meetings. We're opening revival meetings, and the pastor get up front Sunday morning. I'm sitting there, and I'm nervous, and I'm like, okay, Lord, help me to know how to open up these meetings and all of that. And he gets up front. He actually had a glass of water, and he had an empty glass, and he had a pitcher of water half full or half empty. Depends if you're a pessimist or an optimist, right? But he was standing there with it, and he came down front, just like I am here, and he was using an illustration, and I was like, I had no idea where he was going, but he started out, and he said, so I have this pitcher of water here, and I have this empty glass, and he said, I'm going to liken the water in this picture to the anointing that's going to flow this week in these meetings. My thought was he's going to take it and dump it into the glass and illustrate the anointing flowing. All of a sudden, he takes this half-full pitcher of water and he goes like this. Completely misses the glass and dumps everything on the carpet in the church. You should have heard the... It was like, preacher, just put water on the carpet. And the moment he did that, I began to weep because I knew exactly where he was going. And he told his congregation, he said, you know what? The anointing's going to be flowing. You're either going to give yourself under the submission of the anointing, or you're going to miss it, depending on the condition of your heart. It was a powerful illustration. Anyway, that was not in my notes. Sorry about the car, but it'll dry up, I hope. Wow. Where was I? But gratefulness. When was the last time we thank God for water pressure? When was the last time we thank God for soap to put in our dishwasher? When was the last time we thank God for ingredients that we can have, don't just have to wash our vehicles dry or without soap? Gratefulness. gratitude. I often, when I have a chance to wash vehicles back to the hobbies, I enjoy that. I enjoy making something dirty look clean. It's great results. But I often thank God. Lord, thank you for a hose that reaches 50 feet. Thank you for water that runs through it. Thank you for a nozzle that I don't have to like use my little thumb to just and turn it on and off every time. Like think about it. These little things that we use so often. Do we express gratitude and gratefulness? Wow. But I want to encourage us. Think of, try it tomorrow morning. Give God thanks for 10 things before you even get out of bed. I believe it's a weapon that will fight discouragement, weapon that will fight depression, weapon that will fight worry. Wherever we find ourselves, the weapon of gratitude. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. I want that to be my life. You know, we have the privilege to greet a lot of people. Now, I know this is very technical, but I'm very practical this morning. When you greet people, like maybe they do something for you, and you greet them, and you're like, "Hey, bless you, brother. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Thank you." Anything wrong with that? No? It's great. How about if I would say, "Thank you. I appreciate you." Feel the difference? I appreciate it. I appreciate you. Think about that. You greet people. "Hey, good to see you. I appreciate you." It's a powerful weapon. I appreciate you. I like to text people. I have sometimes mornings I will go just down through a list and people that have impacted my life. I'll just send a very short text, just so you know, someone in North Carolina thinking about you, I appreciate you. That simple. I appreciate you. Personal. Gratitude. Gratefulness. It's a powerful weapon in the kingdom of God. I want to live a life that is filled and overflowing with thankfulness. No matter the hardest day of my life, and I know sometimes it's hard to be joyful when we lose a loved one. It's hard to be joyful when we face, where was the brother that shared about the surgery coming up with the baby? I mean, your heart goes out it's difficult. And I'm not saying every day you just have to be, but an attitude of gratefulness and gratitude goes such a long way. And it impacts your surroundings. It impacts your surroundings. I like to be in a setting where you greet people. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. And just express gratefulness and gratitude in a personal way. It affects the surroundings. I believe it's one of the ways that it sets up the atmosphere for the glory of God to be present. Because gratefulness and thankfulness lines up with the Word of God, and therefore it sets up for the revelation of God to be so present. Gratefulness and gratitude. Hallelujah. Let the peace of God, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The song that was sung this morning in the special. My, the young family, keep singing. Wow. Amen. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I mean, two verses loaded with expression of gratitude, gratefulness, thankfulness, as we worship the one who redeemed us. Hallelujah. Weapon of gratitude. Devote yourself to prayer. Be watchful and thankful. Colossians 4, verse 2. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How about it this morning? My attitude of gratefulness and thankfulness. I want us to think about it as we close for a moment here this morning. If we could just close our eyes. What has my life been like recently? Have I been a grateful person? Or have I complained? What does my husband hear? What does my wife hear? What do my children hear? What do my friends hear? Jesus, first of all, we are so grateful for you that you are the Savior of the world. You have redeemed us, brought us from darkness to light. We are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. We honor you. We honor you, and we are so grateful for you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that is within us. We are so grateful. And then beyond that, oh God, help us to give, to express, just to say it. It's something that happens when we say it, even when we wake up in the morning and we just express gratitude for the things we have. Thank you for a warm house or an air-conditioned house or a soft bed or warm water, hot water, and all the things that we just use every day and maybe sometimes are not grateful for it. Lord, I want to live a life of gratitude. Be overflowing with gratefulness. Express gratitude to people that have impacted our life, and even those who haven't impacted our life. Express gratitude and gratefulness. Even unsafe people, when they hear a grateful spirit, will be drawn to it. Even people that have never even heard the gospel, when they are approached with a grateful, exuberant attitude, sometimes the first step to getting into their heart as they hear an expression of gratitude, gratefulness. Thank you for your word that teaches us also the dangers of an ungrateful spirit, how that can lead us down the wrong path. But we're so grateful how that you have taught us in your word the power of gratefulness and gratitude. So teach us how to live a life overflowing with gratefulness. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen and amen.